and we're his people, aren't we? We're his people, yeah. And straighten the chair. When we corporately come together as his people, who are we? We're the church, right? Yeah. So you can say that God chooses to work primarily through his church. God can work in all sorts of ways, and God could do it all by himself. God could reach Raglan just in a moment. He could just do all sorts of incredible, amazing things. But it just blows me away to think about the fact that actually it's almost like God wants to stand aside and empower us to fulfill his work here on earth. We've got a big responsibility, haven't we? And we're going to talk a bit about that today and how we can do that. Because I believe God really wants to bless this place, this community, this earth, actually. And it's not just about the pastor or the leaders doing this. We've got to get this, that actually God chooses every single one of us to be a part of his plan for actually redeeming this community, touching people's lives, restoring families, bringing hope, and bringing eternal life. Isn't that incredible? That he wants every one of us to be on his team doing this, inviting people to church, praying for each other, loving people, being on teams, whatever our gifting is, we can be a part of this. This incredible work that God is doing, and especially as we come towards the, I believe we're coming towards the culmination of all things in terms of the world history. And there's some, you know, we're living in an exciting time. Today I want to look at two people in particular in the Bible from 1 Samuel chapter 14, and they're the two people that actually Andy mentioned in one of his messages while we were away, and it was Jonathan and his armor bearer. Now, when I was listening to Andy's word, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about today, it just sort of sparked something in me. And I just want to give you a little bit of a background to the situation before we start looking at these two. And just bear in mind that they were servants of God like us. So that's why we're talking about them today. The background is that the Philistines were constantly hassling the Israelites. God's people were led by King Saul, and they'd been doing pretty good, but there'd been a few things that had gone down, and God was actually, I think in a way, he was using the Philistines to sharpen them up a little bit, and they were going through some hard times. The Philistines would send out raiding parties and, you know, military, and they'd be taking this and taking that and just hassling the Israelites all the time and dominating them and humiliating them. Although, you know, they were still fairly strong as a nation, Israel, but these Philistines, they were on taking the upper hand, really. In the whole situation. And the situation that we're going to look at, there was a standoff between the Philistine a military group, a detachment of raiding party, and King Saul and 600 of his warriors. So there was like a little bit of a standoff between them, and there was everyone was sort of waiting to see what was going to happen and how it was going to play out. And so that's the background. In the situation, it's also important probably for us to understand that Jonathan was King Saul's son. He was his oldest son, and he was really, effectively, he was like second in command. And like all Israel, he was getting a little bit frustrated with the situation. There was a lot of frustration, and what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with these guys? And they just kept hassling them and taking land off them and defeating them in all sorts of little areas. And so, well, let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 6 to 14, and we'll just see what happens. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows." He's talking about the Philistines, the enemies. "Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Do all you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you heart and soul. Jonathan said, come then, we will cross over toward the men, this is the enemies, towards the enemies, and let them see us. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. They were looking for a sign. Are we going to take on these guys or not? But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into our hand. Given them into the hand of Israel, rather. Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. It must have been a really steep, rugged sort of an area. And having been to Israel, man, there's a lot of steep, rugged areas there. You can sort of imagine that, there was cliffs and there was all sorts of things that these guys would have been dealing with. Drop-offs and rocks and things they could hide behind and this little pass that they were going through. So Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. You see, what happened is that Jonathan and his armor bearer stepped out. And they initiated what became a great victory for Israel that day. It was like a bit of a turning point with the hassles that they'd been having with these Philistines. After the initial attack by Jonathan and his armor bearer, King Saul and all the Israelite soldiers saw that the Philistines were starting to run away and they were starting to be defeated, and they all joined in. And miraculously, with God's help, they defeated the Philistines that day. At the beginning of the battle, only Saul and Jonathan had swords. They only had two swords in the whole army because the Philistines cunningly they'd manipulated things so that they were the only blacksmiths in the whole country. And so Israel was dependent on them for getting their plows sharpened and their swords made. So, of course, they didn't let them have too many swords. So at the beginning, they only had two swords with 600 men. But if you think about it, by the end of the day, with all the Philistines that were defeated and had swords, and then they were dropping them and running off, suddenly the army was well-equipped. By the end of the day, they would have had plenty of weapons, plenty of swords. So it was a whole turning point for them. And not only was it a great victory on the day, they were now much better set up to fight them next time because they had the enemy's weapons as well. So, and everybody was a part of this. You know, it was started off, was initiated by Jonathan and his armor bearer, but then King Saul and all the others got involved. And so they all shared in a great victory, which would have been cool for all of them after being a priest. Of course, who were the heroes in this whole situation, do you think? I think it was Jonathan and his armor bearer, the ones that initiated the whole thing. They're the ones that, it was really Jonathan that had the faith to actually step out and, you know, this is wrong, what's happening. You know, God doesn't want us to be living like this as his people. You know, sometimes we've got to stand up and say, hey, this isn't the way it should be. We've got to do something. Sometimes we've got to be the ones to initiate change in our communities, in our families. Now, things don't have to be the way they've always been. If things are wrong, as God's people, we need to identify that. We need to start praying through these things. We need to start making some changes, being different people ourselves and making an influence. And that's really what Jonathan was doing. And he was, Jonathan and his armor bearer, I think they were clearly the heroes on the day, weren't they? The armor bearer, we're not even told his name in the Bible. I can't see anywhere where it says what his name was. And yet without him, Think about it, the victory would never have happened. Because as Jonathan tentatively stepped out, he said in verse 6, and we'll have that on the screen, perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. He wasn't quite sure whether God was fully in this or not. He just knew things were wrong, things had to change. And he, as second in command, he had quite a lot of authority, and he felt, look, if I just dither around and do nothing, nothing's going to change. Something has to happen. And so he stepped out, and he said, perhaps God will help us, is what he was saying. And then this is what his armor bearer said in verse 7. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, because I am with you heart and soul. What a powerful statement for that guy to say and that guy to make. He had confidence in Jonathan. He had confidence in God. He had faith, and he was willing to just go for it. Things need to change, and let's do this. And I was thinking, you know, man, what a man he was. What a powerful statement. He probably didn't even have any weapons. He was the guy who followed along, carrying the armor, carrying the weapons, just doing whatever Jonathan wanted to do. And he was right there with him, heart and soul. What a passion that he had. And they won the battle that day. That encouragement came just at the right time. And sometimes we all need that encouragement just at the right time, don't we? We need someone to speak into our life and say, hey, keep going. Don't give up. You know, God's on your side. Like what Huntsie was talking about this morning. Wasn't that an awesome communion thought this morning about how much God loves us and thinks we're awesome, even when we don't feel like it. I reckon it was that man's courage and support of Jonathan, actually, that turned the battle that day, that initiated something awesome. And we still don't know the guy's name. I suspect that one day, when we're all in heaven, we will all know his name. Do you think? I think we will. And I think it will be just so cool to meet a guy like that. And because this is only a part of the picture. He didn't get his name mentioned in the Bible, but I think his name is going to be well known in heaven. And I just want to say that I believe we have got many awesome armor bearers in this church who are right there, week after week, all year, when it's convenient and when it's not, supporting, encouraging in their heart and soul. And that's you guys. Now, we can all make a difference, can't we? If we have that heart and soul, I'm with you. Kind of spirit. With people on your team like that, you know, nothing is too difficult. With God backing us and the right people around us, I believe as a church, we're going to make a huge difference, much more than we've even beginning to do yet in this community. And like I said before, I believe God's plan is to work through his people, his church. I believe that is God's plan A, and I don't believe he has got a plan B. We're it. And the question is, are we going to get stuck in and do it as we are or not? And actually, tonight at Te Uku, Cheryl's going to talk a little bit about some of our experiences on our recent trip, especially in Israel and Italy. And she's going to bring some challenges through what we experienced for us as a people as well, as a church. I encourage you to be there. I think it will be quite interesting because we've certainly had our outlook broadened through the time that we've been away. After the battle that day, I think Jonathan, King Saul's son and heir to the throne, had surely proven his suitability for the job, hadn't he? I mean, he was a brave man. He was a leader of leaders. He was the sort of guy that was willing to step out with courage. He was willing to face the enemy, and even though they were outnumbered, 20-1 or whatever it was, 10-1 or more, he had courage, he had ability, he had gifting, and it was obvious that he was clearly capable of being the next king after his father, right? I think it's pretty clear, humanly speaking, Jonathan was the man. I just want to read a little bit further ahead in 1 Samuel chapter 23, from verses 15 to 18, and just see what happens with Jonathan. This is verse 15. We'll have that up on the screen. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life because Jonathan's father, Saul, was a bit threatened by David because David, of course, had killed Goliath and he was a captain in the army and he was doing all sorts of amazing things and he had been anointed of God. And, Saul was a bit insecure, opposite to what Huntsie was talking about. He was very threatened, and he decided he had to get rid of this guy, David. And Saul's son, Jonathan, here we have Jonathan again, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." Then the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and then Jonathan went home and David remained at Horesh. I want to talk a little bit about Jonathan this morning. That even though in the natural, Jonathan was entitled to one day become king. When David, his biggest threat to that ever happening, when he was at his most vulnerable point, when he was hiding and running away from King Saul and all the army, and they were closing in on him, and Jonathan could have thought, well, if they get this guy, it's my opportunity to be the king. And he was at risk, no question about it. He was fleeing for his life. And instead of doing that, Jonathan actually went out of his way. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16 tells us he helped him find strength in God. What a man Jonathan was. He helped him find strength in God. Just as Jonathan's armor bearer had done for him, Jonathan now strengthened David. And verse 17, this is what he said to David. He said, "Don't be afraid. You will be king over Israel, not me." He not only strengthened him and encouraged him, yes, he reminded him of his calling. And he reminded him of God's plan for his life. Right there when he was threatened and vulnerable, and wondering what was going to happen and whether God was still with him or not. And then he went on to say, "And I will be second to you." I'm looking forward to meeting the armor bearer in heaven. But man, I think one of the greatest heroes in heaven one day will be men like Jonathan. He wasn't out looking for stuff for himself. He didn't get the glory here on earth. But God promises us that he is faithful and just. And I think Jonathan, like the armor bearer, they're going to be really honored in heaven. And Jonathan was a guy that had character and integrity, didn't he? Absolutely. He was had a sense of security in who he was and who God had called him to be. And he knew that God had asked him to support David as the coming king. David was known as a man after God's own heart. But I think Jonathan reminds me of a man who was like a forerunner to Jesus, a type of Jesus, type, you know, had the same sort of character that Jesus had. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus himself, when he was talking to the disciples, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to sit on this side and that and in heaven? And who's going to be the greatest in my kingdom? And so on and so forth. And Jesus reminded, he said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Now, there's that whole, it's a different spirit, isn't it, to what we naturally carry and who we naturally are and what we want to be. It's just there's something powerful about it. There's something powerful about catching the heart of Jonathan and the armor bearer and being men and women like that. You know, it doesn't matter what our role is, whether we're leaders, whether we're the pastor, whatever our role is, we need to carry that humility and that attitude that Jesus had, but also that other examples in the Bible had. So have we got some Jonathans and some armor bearers here today? I think we do. I think actually one of the reasons that our church is as strong as it is and that we're growing and we're actually making some impact and some influence here is simply because of the unity and the selflessness of so many people. And if we can continue to guard that and pray for that and keep catching God's spirit and his heart for the future, yeah, I'm just really excited about what's ahead. And because God's got plans for people that don't know him yet. He's got a lot of those people that come through the food bank we met yesterday and our neighbors and our family and so on and so forth that are just hopelessly lost. God wants us to touch their lives and bring that message of hope and reconciliation to them as well as for us. Isn't that cool? That's my thoughts today. So we're going to start just, I'm going to get some of the leaders, the Jonathans up here to honor and thank their team. So Lana, we're going to start with the worship area and
and that people would rather these days give some money than to have to sacrifice some of their time because time is just so precious. But the heart in this team and in this church is just one that is generous all around, especially with time. So I really just want to thank you guys again this morning for every moment that you invested into the worship team and into our church. And it's awesome to have something that is worth investing to, eh? But I just want to say that you are so appreciated, and I love working alongside you. And, just thanks so much. I want to honor and thank you this morning. So let's just give the worship team a round of applause.
You guys can all read the names up there. Yep. And the team leaders have got little gifts for all the teams as well that they'll give after the service. Alan and London Huntsie.
Yeah, so logistics up there. So that's the logistics team there. We do all the practical work around the church that needs to be done. That covers like transportation of gear for our big events when we turn it around that way, the curtains and all of that stuff, and the setup. Every Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're in here turning this from a school gym into a church, and it's cool to have a team on board that capture the heart of what we want to do as a church and set it all up. And then it leads through to the parking out there. The people, so that goes through to the welcoming area as well, the parking up there, and the van drivers as well on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. I don't even see them out there, but they're out there picking people up who need a ride to church and capture the heart of getting everyone here. And then it leads through to the welcoming, which Huntsie looks after.
Yeah, so it's kind of a joint effort, but you know, welcoming is such, it's the face of the church. You do see them. They're amazing. You know, sometimes coming to church, for when you're newly wanting to come to church, it can be a really daunting, scary thing. And so this welcoming team right in the car park as they come through, just they make you, they, I'm so grateful, you guys, you make people feel like, oh, it's such an awesome place to be. It's a safe place. And you're like imparting God's love. And it's just so great to see that smile right from, you know, right from up at the parking all the way through. And we're just, you know, we're super grateful to how awesome you are and how you serve, and you're here, you know, before, way before 10 to be just, yeah, there. And it's just awesome to see. So we appreciate it.
And also at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon when we're in here setting up all the chairs and all that, Willie and Sean are in here every week at 4 o'clock as well. And we have a lot of fun doing that. So it's, yeah, we all just get into it together. Like, we also help with the speakers and, you know, leads, and Sean helps with the chairs, and we all just help each other out and have fun doing it. So 4 o'clock on a Saturday.
I count it an honour and a privilege to be leading the hospitality and the Connect team. This morning, I just want to say a massive thank you to you all, to particularly Christina for overseeing things for me while I've been on maternity leave, so thanks, Chris. And to my leaders and the rest of the team who are up on the screen. These people serve week in and week out, and I thank you. Now, this team creates the warm, friendly, family-like atmosphere that our church is known for. Each week we are served lovely hot coffee and enjoy yummy home baking. And they look out and connect for, with our visitors, making them feel at home, and are often some of the last ones here cleaning up, doing the dishes and packing things up. So thank you very much. We really do appreciate all the work you do. Thank you for the care you take in making church feel like a home. And I think, as was mentioned before, as a token of our appreciation, we do have a little gift for you. And so after the service, if you can see me at the back, would be great. So just really thank you so much for all you do.
I'm privileged to lead the life group area, and I just want to thank the people who lead and who host that week in and week out, particularly open their homes, create an environment and where people can come to be a part of life group. Life group is where a lot of the pastoral care takes place in the church, and it's not actually just the leaders who do that, it's those who come to life group care for one another, and that's sort of where, as a church, we put a lot of our focus in for caring for one another in that environment. So if you're not actually a part of a life group, we've got room for more. There's plenty of room for more. You're welcome to be a part of it each week when we advertise life group. And this week is going to be a life group week. It's always said, well, come and see Norris Pitt, that's me. So come and check in, and we encourage you to be a part of something there. This will be our last life group for the year, the one this coming week. So, and we'll be starting again in February. But during the summer break, I just encourage you, even this week, to take time to enjoy being together, perhaps as a more social occasion or whatever, but also to think about what you're going to do through the summer, just to connect with one another and get together, and even talk to some of the other life groups about things that we can do together as a body through the summer, just to keep connected. People will be going away and coming, etc., etc., but it's a good way to keep together. Next year we do start in February. But during next year too, just a heads up, we'll be looking at changing things up throughout the course of the year. More groups, but more flexibility. So we'll start the year as we're finishing it. But during the course of the year, we will see some other initiatives being brought forward and some other ideas. We just wanted to try and change things up, make it more connect for people who haven't had the chance to connect yet. And we are aware that not everybody is easily able to fit into what we do at the moment. So we're wanting to make it more inclusive for everybody. Lastly, just thank you to being a part of Life Group, making Life Groups a success, because they are a success because of the people who come and who join in, who participate, who share. We pray for one another, we pray for needs, we care for one another, and it's where we can actually know what's actually going on in the lives of individuals and meet needs within the church. We're, a lot of our focus as a church is looking outward, and that's important, that we reach out into our community, make a difference in our community. But this is one place where we actually can look inward to care for one another. And so it's just a crucial part. So thank you again for being a part of Life Groups, and particularly to the team.
All right, the food bank team, I want to thank you guys. The team, we meet together twice a week, Mondays and Fridays, so and the team I've got have been the same team for quite a few years, so we've gotten to know each other really well, and we really are like a family. It's really special what we have at the food bank, and I want to thank you guys that are up there helping all the time, because you really make it your own as well, and you can tell that your heart's into it, because you're always bringing from your own house to share with people that come up to the food bank that need the help. So I want to thank you so much. So consistent, so reliable. It's awesome. You guys are wonderful. Yeah. And I have another team, so do you want to give these guys a round of applause? That'd be awesome. And then I'm just going to thank the guys that do the news every week. So that's Ed. He's got the news always on his mind. He's got to get it done, and it's always at a cost. So he's reliable, he's consistent, and he works really hard. And I see it because it happens in my home. I see what my husband does, and he really does have a passion for the news and for making sure that you get it. And when it doesn't work, he holds it on himself. It's really important for him that it works well. So thanks, honey. He's not here, but, you know. And Nath here, he does on the holidays or whenever Ed can't do it, and he's really good. Ed, even last minute, Ed's like, I can't do it. Nath, can you? And he's like, oh, all right, let's do this. And he does a fantastic job. He's creative. He brings in humour and personality. And, yeah, thank you, Nath. I know Ed really appreciates it. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Cool, and youth, it's the place to be on a Friday night if you're a teenager. I just really want to thank the youth team for your commitment, your consistency, every Friday night. How epic is that? The youth team make a youth a priority, and we all know Friday night, end of the week, people want to just blob out or hang out with their friends. The youth team choose to be at youth on a Friday night, to invest in the young lives in the community. They really pull their heart out for them. They drive the vans around and bring supper and run challenges, bring messages, and they're really incredible. And the team's just really awesome. Why don't you guys stand up wherever you are, and we'll give you a hand. You're on the screen, so... Yes, you guys are awesome. Like every church, that we are a body, and we all have many parts, and the youth team is exactly that. We all function in different areas and in different roles, and they all bring something different to the youth team, which makes it function just so seamlessly and awesome. So I just really want to thank you guys, and yeah, you're awesome. You're incredible.
I don't know whether you've been noticing all the lists of names on the board and how many there are. I had the job of getting some thank you vouchers for our teams. And I just want to say that we required more vouchers than what one cafe could provide us. And so we had to go to two cafes this year to get the vouchers, to get them done in time, even though they had about a week or 10 days warning. There was 100, well over 100, between 100 and 150, 135 or something. And I thought, well, how cool is that, that we have got that many armor bearers stepping up in the life of the church. We also have a lot of other things that we're just going to also acknowledge that run just short term through the year. We have the Flipped, which is a children's ministry that Janet runs. That's usually at the beginning of the year. We also have the Christmas Boxes. That is an awesome outreach that we are part of as a church. And then we also have the Living Free that Huntsie was talking about, that Marie has been running, and that's been run a couple of times. So just short-term things that have been happening in the church. We also have, of course, Marie has the counseling, which runs all year. She's available for counseling, and that is a really key part of what we do as a church. And there's lots of people in the community that take the opportunity for that. As a church, we also pay for Marie to go. We have done for Marie to go into the school, and she's got several of the children at the school that the Raglan Area School has been really appreciative of us actually providing that for them. So there's a lot goes on that sometimes we're not really aware of. There's also the Food Together, which Sandra has. I don't think Sandra's here today, but Sandra's just got that going, and she's got that's happening out of the food bank, and it just matches in nicely with what we're doing. Lots of blessing going out through the community there. And also, I just want to mention our maintenance man, Trevor, who does an awesome job. So let's give him a hand too, and all these other guys. That was a clap for Janet and Marie and Sandra and all the others as well. And we've also, what's our next area? Oh, yeah, we've got the church board. Yeah, we've got some old fellas that sort of oversee things, and we have meetings and coffees and cups of tea, and we really dig into God and have prayer times and on behalf of you guys. I just really, really support Roger and Norris and the role that they have. And it's a lot of it is unseen, and yet it's the power really behind what's been happening in our church for many, many years. Also, we've got Surfside Surfers that Dean runs, and he's reaching out to the surfing community, and that happens. And also Andy and Chris are running the 18 to 25 year old outreach, and they're gathering up a good crew there as well. And we also have people that look after the events and the communion, and that's primarily Ben. He's also got a right-hand man of Brendan who's helps with things and smooth running in the church and making sure that things are flowing and working. So Ben and Brendan do an awesome job there as well. What other areas have we got to cover off? I think we've got some others, and the risk is that sometimes you can leave people out. I also want to mention the Cambodia crew, Ross and Shaney, they're not here, they're in Bali right now, but they did such a great job of leading our team. The outreach that we've got doesn't just end here, it goes, it's going worldwide, and these guys did an awesome trip, and Ross and Shaney did a great job of leading that. So I think the other thing too, I think those of you that give financially, none of this could happen without the finance that the tithes, the offerings that keep coming in, and just blows me away. The generosity of our people and the people that pray, the people that back us, the Jonathans and the armor bearers that make up this church is absolutely overwhelming. And I just keep saying this, but I believe the best is yet to come. If we can stay focused, on track, in tune with God, loving each other, man, Raglan's going to be blessed, isn't it? So how about if we just all stand up and let's give God a clap for what he's doing.